Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody. We want to welcome all of you on this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. And we are so glad that you're here today. We want to welcome all of you and welcome all of those that may be listening later on online this week. And a little later on, as we've been talking about fear and anxiety and worry through this series, I'm going to talk a little bit about what do you fear missing out on? And so we'll talk about that later on. So as we begin our service, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father.
Let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin. God, we've been going in circles all week.
We can't get these worries out of our heads.
But you call us to worship now, to refocus on you.
We come to worship and receive God's peace.
Your mercies are new each morning.
Your love and grace are limitless.
Let us worship God, who is caring for us right now. Let's join together this morning. And if you'd like to turn your hymn books, you're welcome to 454. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, He Leadeth Me. Together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Source of healing and mercy, give us the confidence to sing your praises Even when fear and worry darken our thoughts, grant us your healing balm, O God, that we may worship you and follow with grateful hearts. Amen. And you may be seated, and we're going to go to our next hymn if you'd like to turn to 368, or you can follow along as we sing the four verses of God Will Take Care of You. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care. Here today, do we? Little ones, I mean. Little ones. Okay. Well, I guess we will go ahead and we'll go to our time of prayer then this morning. And as we go to our joys and concerns, maybe you have something you would like to share this morning. Anyone at all? Yes. Unspoken, okay. Somebody else, I saw. Yep.
Unspoken,
okay. Someone else this morning, yes.
Unspoken prayer from last week was answered.
Ah, thank God for that. If you didn't hear what she said her unspoken prayer request last week was answered this week. So thank God for that. I saw another hand, yep.
My sister fell and she has a broken shoulder. Wasn't able to get into the doctor until this week, so she's in a lot of pain.
Okay, and what is your sister's first name?
Betty?
Becky. Becky, okay, thank you. Becky, and with a broken shoulder, ouch. Somebody else? Yes?
My sister Lonnie had her eye surgery, and it came back okay. We had to check it every week, you know, make sure her face lighted. And then my nephew Chris went in, and every
Oh, that is wonderful news. Yes, thank God for that. Yeah, and we want to remember Ronnie as she's recovering, and they're keeping an eye on that. And yes, so somebody else, yes. Okay. Keep all of them in our prayers. Somebody else this morning. Yes.
That's my uncle Jim Glasso. He's still recovering from pneumonia and caused some issues with his heart. He's recovering, but just prayers for continued recovery.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Definitely want to keep Jim in our prayers. Recovery there. Somebody else? Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned about we're praying for Israel and hurricane victims in our election. Everything that's going on in our world.
Yes, exactly. Lots of crazy stuff going on. Okay. All right, and I think I saw another hand. Yep. Yes, it is. And as I've said so many times, fall is my favorite season of the year. This week was just gorgeous, gorgeous week. And yes, and I was talking to somebody the other day that is thinking a lot of the farmers may be done before November 1st. So we'll see how that goes. But continue remembering our farmers as they're out in the fields and for safety and all of that. That goes with that and everything. So, somebody else? Anybody else this morning? All right. Well, I guess that's it this morning. And short and sweet. If you remember some of these names or situations or whatever that have been mentioned today, I'll give you a chance to pray for some of those there in your seats quietly. Carla will play a little bit. And that'll give you a chance to pray. Or maybe if you came in with something on your heart today. You know, I've been talking about fears and worries and everything. Talk to God. He's listening when we're here today. And give those to Him. And then I will come and close us out. Lord, we're just so grateful for the beauty that we see all around us. We're thankful for life. We're thankful for Jesus, who gives us life eternal and all that comes with that, the peace and the joy and the gentleness and the goodness and the faith. Oh God, thank you so much for all of these things in our lives that we can experience. Even when life seems chaotic and out of control and worrisome and fearful, God, we are grateful today that we can trust in you, and that you are the one that gives us the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we lift up those today that have been mentioned, Lord. We want to lift them up, especially to you. We think of Becky with his broken shoulder today. For Ronnie, who's recovering from eye surgery, and they'll be continuing to monitor that and watch that. For Jim this morning, who really needs a miracle of God with battling cancer. And for Priscilla and Barney, God. And for Jim today, who's recovering from pneumonia, Lord. And God, we just lift up each one of them today and ask for your healing touch, your grace, your presence to be with them, for strength and recovery, all aspects of wholeness, God, and well-being. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we lift up some of these other situations that have been mentioned, the thing going on in Israel and the Palestinians. And we're thinking about Russia and Ukraine and other places around the world where civil war and war and fighting seems to be a way. Lord, somehow, some way, Lord, may they be willing to cease fire and come to peaceful solutions and cease the conflicts and some way of working out in those situations. And we ask for your grace in the midst of those. And we think, Lord, about so many that are still and will for months and maybe even years be suffering from the impact of the hurricanes that struck here in the last couple months, Lord. We just ask for your grace. We thank you for so many on the ground that are working, the organizations, the churches, and FEMA and all the different ones that are there trying to help and make a difference in those terrible, terrible situations. People lost everything. And God, we thank you for love in people's hearts and graciousness to reach out. And Lord, we just ask. And Lord, we do lift up our nation and our upcoming elections, God, that you would guide and direct there and grant your grace. We lift up these unspoken requests today. Lord, you know what the needs are there. And we just ask that you would just minister in those situations as only you can do. And we thank you that you are able to make a way where there seems to be no way and to work in those situations. And Lord, if during the prayer time, as Carla was playing, there were those today that maybe lifted up something to you that they did not want to share in the service, God, we just ask and we agree with them today that you would work in those situations, meeting needs or whatever it may be, God, that you will work today. And Lord, I also pray for peace today for those that may need it, laying down some burdens, some heaviness, some cares that have been weighing them down. As we sang this morning already, you are the one who leads us. You are the one that guides us. You are the one that cares for us. And we are so grateful that you are working in our lives, even when we do not even know it's happening. You are there working in behind the scenes. So we thank you for all of those things today. And thank you for that. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. I really do believe it makes a big difference in people's lives and what they're experiencing, especially if you know that you've been touched by someone's prayers for you. So, all right, well, let's worship the Lord with our giving this morning. And again, as I always share, thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving, whether you give weekly or biweekly or monthly or however that is. That continues the work of the local community of faith here and reaches out through our missions programs in our community and around the world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give. Let's join together for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin this morning. To you, O God, we present our offering. Take and use it for good in your church and in the world that you love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is from a fairly familiar passage from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teachings there in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 25 through 34 this morning. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin clothes. But I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you? You people of weak faith, therefore don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, you know I like to start with something funny this morning. So Farmer John lived on a quiet rural highway. But as time went by, the traffic slowly began to build up at an alarming rate. The traffic was so heavy and so fast that his chickens were being run over at a rate of 3 to 6 a day. So one day, Farmer John called the sheriff's office and says, "You got to do something about these people driving so fast. They're killing all my chickens." "Well, what do you want me to do?" said the sheriff. "I don't know. I mean, do something about these crazy drivers." So the next day, he had the county workers go out and erect a sign that said, "Slow school crossing." 3 days later, Farmer John called the sheriff and said, "You got to do something about these crazy drivers. The school crossing sign seems to make them drive even faster." So again, the sheriff sent out the county workers and they put up a sign that said, "Slow, children at play." Well, that really sped them up. So Farmer John called and called and called every day for 3 weeks. Finally, he said to the sheriff, "Your signs are doing no good. Can I put up my own sign?" The sheriff told him, "Sure thing, you put up your old sign, or your own sign." So Farmer John decided that he was going to put up his own sign. And 3 weeks later, curiosity got the best of the sheriff, and he decided to give Farmer John a call. "Well, how's that problem with those drivers? Did you put up your own sign?" "Oh, sure I did. And not one chick has been killed since." "Well, I've got to go. I'm very busy." So he hung up on the sheriff. Well, the sheriff was really curious and thought to himself, "I better go out there and take a look at that sign. It might be something that we could use to slow down drivers in other places." So the sheriff drove out to Farmer John's house, and his jaw dropped the moment he saw the sign, because spray painted on a big wooden sign, it said, "Nudist colony, slow down and watch out for chicks." That's better. I thought that was funny too. But anyways, living curiously in uncertain times. So today I want to talk to you about FOMO. FOMO, the fear of missing out. There are many studies centered around the effects of social media on our mental health. I don't think I have to say a whole lot about that. You probably heard some of the stories. Now, I'm a social media person. I use it every day, pretty regularly. But something that I did not know about until I ran across it this week, somebody that I was reading mentioned FOMO. I thought, what in the world is FOMO? And they said what it meant, the fear of missing out. Now, there's another one, but I cannot remember it offhand. But it got me curious, so I Googled. And I went to key sites, mental health sites and stuff like that. And FOMO is a psychological phenomenon. Here's how they define this. FOMO, fear of missing out, is the feeling of anxiety that you're not included in something others are experiencing, such as an event or an activity. Now, when I read that, I thought, well, good Lord, when I was a kid and a teenager, that was always happening to me, for the most part. And that was before social media. But it also is described as the fear that you're missing out on information or life decisions that could improve your life. And as I read further on this, they said FOMO is a relatively new psychological phenomenon that has become widespread with the rise of the internet culture. It's often triggered by seeing or perceiving that others are having fun or experiencing new things or living a better life than you. I don't know if you caught that, but that sounds a little bit like what the Old Testament calls coveting. And the thing about FOMO is it can strike every time a neighbor or friend posts pictures of their amazing vacation, their really cool birthday party, which you weren't invited to, or the awesome places they ate at, or the conversations they had with all the cool people they interacted with on Facebook, Instagram, Snap, or X. X is Twitter. But think about that for a minute. For many of you, this won't even affect you. For others, you may be thinking, I might have experienced that before. And as I was thinking about that, I'm like, I've experienced that before. And here's the thing. If we're not reasonably secure or happy with our own lives, looking at those posts with the pics of happiness and bliss and excitement can sometimes make people anxious, insecure, unhappy, depressed, so forth, so on. So let's talk a little bit about this. And I want to focus by thinking about this in a couple ways. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to read a passage for you. Let me read it. Maybe I was supposed to wait. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, let's think about this in the light of living courageously. First of all, I want to talk about social media anxiety. Social media anxiety. Social media, if you've experienced like I have, is a great way to keep connected with friends, family, loved ones. We can see into the best moments of their lives and they with us. But it's very important to remember a couple things regarding this, as I discovered. And some of them I already knew. First of all, social media can be addictive. FOMO is unique, like I said, because it not only fears missing out, but involves compulsive behavior to maintain it. So let me give an example of this, what I'm talking about. And this is where I can understand where I said I can relate to this. So sometimes our brains crave it in the morning. Have you ever found yourself right away in the morning when you're drinking your coffee, you get on Facebook or Instagram right away in the morning? Yep. And then the next thing you know, you're at work. And when you're on lunch break, you're on Facebook, Instagram, Snap. I see it every day at school. As soon as the kids are allowed to have their phone, and I don't know what they're on, but they get on something. And they're on it and they're glued to it. Now, some of them may be playing a game. I don't know. But we look at it when we're shopping. We look at it while we're eating. Jody and I had this thing sometimes when we go out to eat as a family. And we always kind of said we were not going to be on our phones when we went out together. We were going to talk to one another. Sometimes that's hard in certain situations. But I've noticed when we kind of made that pact, so to speak, I would see couples and people, and they would be glued to their phone and they would not talk to each other the whole time they were in the restaurant. And we look at it in all these situations, even when we go to the bathroom. And maybe just before we go to bed. The problem is these images then sit in our heads overnight thinking, wow, man, everybody's living so great. But here's the second thing you need to see is social media is partial. You only see a snippet or half of a person's life. And guess what? It's always the best half. I don't post pictures of myself on Facebook when I get up in the morning. My hair's greasy and sticking up, and I got a 5 o'clock shadow, and I look grumpy. Do you? I don't know. I don't know people that do that. Now, I've seen those posts where these ladies will post pictures, and they'll say, without makeup, with makeup, kind of things. I've seen those on Facebook before, and so forth. Because we usually post our happiest moments or those that, and that does not always reflect our entire lives. Usually we're just posting the good times. And I do that too. And it's important to remember that when we are on social media, we're just seeing those good times and we can rejoice with those, our family members. And I see my nephew and niece and them that live in Boston or in Virginia Beach, or some of my family members that live in Atlanta or in Florida, you know, and that's, I love that. But those posts are not the full reality of the situation. Just a small light or a picture, a slice of what we allow people to see in our lives. Jesus is addressing some issues in our reading today. And he's really talking about the whole issue of happiness and joy by countering anxiety, anxiousness, worry, and then those things that lead to fear in our lives. So let's talk about it as renewing our minds for happiness or joy, if you want to. The ancient Greeks had a word for happiness, eudaimonia, and it literally means flourishing or experiencing well-being or fearing or feeling joyful. In other words, let's think of it as the good life. Now, when we're on social media, we see people enjoying the good life, but we need to be careful because we all know that we had a great weekend with family and friends or whatever, just like I did last weekend when we went to the UC football game and it was homecoming and I posted pictures of us and everything. But that's not my life. I don't post pictures of Jody and I arguing about something at the house or me getting on Chase because he won't clean up his room and there's junk laying everywhere. And so even the ancient Greeks wrestled with this. How do we achieve the good life? How do we do that? And some of their philosophers talked about retraining our minds so that we can make happiness and joy a part of our lives and defeat what is known as the restless heart syndrome. You know what the restless heart syndrome is? Just never satisfied with anything. We all go through times of that. Here's what I want you to see. And sometimes social media can aspirate the restless heart syndrome. And so here's what I want you to see. And let me just say this. This is the first time I've ever preached anything like this in all the years that I've been a pastor. Because it's affecting us in different ways with worries and concerns and fears. Here's what I want you to see. We are more than our social media life. We are more than our social media life. Jesus raises a series of questions while addressing people's fears, worries, and activities in their lives, you know, about eating and drinking and stuff, and the anxieties that sometimes go with that. Now, something I want you to understand, in Jesus' day, most people lived at or near poverty. So this was a great concern of theirs every day. We don't automatically experience that in our lives today. But here's some of the question. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Aren't you worth more, much more than the birds in the sky? Who among you by worrying can add a single moment to your life? Okay, let's update Jesus' words. Isn't life more than social media and more than the fashions and fads that we see on TV or there? Aren't we worth much more than what social media says we are? You know, bullying happens a lot in social media, especially to young people. And people can say some nasty things at times about one another. Aren't we worth much more than what social media says we are? Yes, because what God says about us. Who among us by worrying about our social media life can add a single moment? I just was really struck this week as I was working on this. I can say this, I was amazed at how easy the words came as I was working on it. Maybe it's because I faced a little bit like that at times, what we're going through. Now, if you're not on social media or on the internet, you may not have any clue about what I'm talking about today. But don't we hear people's opinions? Aren't we concerned about what somebody says about us? All of these things. And Jesus addresses these things in a variety of ways. And Paul reminds us how important it is to cultivate gratitude. Here's the big thing that counters all of this. Cultivating gratitude. Let me reread what Paul says. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I know the first Thessalonian, the people in Thessalonica, when Paul was writing to them, because you see clues of it in there, they were worried about what was happening in the Roman Empire. They were worried about their friends that have died. And they were wondering, what happens to them? And Paul kind of addresses that. But I really love this verse because it lets us know how we live the good life. How can we rejoice always? Every time I've read that in my entire life, I thought, that's impossible. How can we rejoice always? And I think Paul is letting us know that we can rejoice more often than not when we take the time to talk to God about every situation in life. When I'm driving in my car, sometimes I'm just talking to God. When I've told you this before, when I'm showering in the morning, I'm talking to God, you know, at different times. Some people might think I'm talking to myself as I'm walking along or whatever. Maybe they think I'm crazy. I don't know. But by communing and talking with God, let him know about your frustrations. Let him know what so-and-so said to you. The greatest words ever told to me, and I've said this before, was my freshman year in college. And the RA on our floor, this was at a Christian university, and we were just talking about a variety of things, and we were talking about how hard it is to pray and make time to pray and everything. And he said something to me through the course of the conversation. He said, Jason, whatever is going on in your day, if you're mad about something, if you're frustrated about something, if somebody's getting on your nerves, he says, tell God about it. Because, and you know, and it was funny in the conversation, and I knew a little bit where he was going, but he said, there are a lot of Christians that think that's sacrilegious to do that. I can't tell God I'm angry at my friend because of what they said about me. I can't tell God about my kid that went off and did this and whatever, you know. And I'll never forget what Art said to me. He goes, Jason, God already knows about it. He says, but when you talk to God about it, when you let it out on God, God doesn't get mad at you and say, I'm never going to talk to you ever again, Jason. No, God says, keep telling me. And there's a catharsis that happens. We let it out when we do that. And when we talk to God about our fears and our worries and anxieties, it makes a difference. And it allows gratitude to fill our hearts because we walk away freer and different. And don't forget to say, thank you, God. Robert Emmons is considered the leading expert on gratitude. He has devoted much of his career to studying the connection between gratitude and happiness at one of the universities. His research found that regularly expressing gratitude makes people happy, more fulfilled, and more likely to flourish. Gratitude also has positive effects on our physical and emotional health and on our relationships with others. So the next time you pick up your phone, your tablet, or your computer, and start feeling envious, anxious, whatever, over your friends' posts, tweets, or pics, remember, we're only looking at the best moments from what is likely an otherwise pretty ordinary life. Look for the blessings in your life and give thanks for what you have. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a few moments and shake a few hands, greet one another, say hi to one another, and then we'll close out by singing our little chorus, I Love You, Lord, this morning. What's that?
Which Sunday is the cantata? It'll be the 22nd?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's several weeks after, that's almost 2 weeks after my surgery. So,
or you can sing along on the PowerPoint. It's been a while since we've sung this little chorus. If you don't know it, we'll sing it through a few times. It's a very simple little song. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's sing it again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. Well, let's join together for a benediction there in the bulletin. Go in peace to love God and our neighbors.
May the Lord be peace in our hearts.
May the blessing of our triune God, who was and is to come, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, be with us always. Amen. Amen.